we hear about Jesus Christ, and we hear and we say and we confess that in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. In about a month, we'll be talking about that first line, the virgin birth, Christmas, that kind of stuff. Today, on Christ the King Sunday, we hear about Pilate, Pontius Pilate, and his role in our creed. So who was Pilate? Pilate was part of the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was the biggest superpower of the day. They owned all the land. They were in control. They built roads. They did everything. Pilate was a Roman prefect. In other words, he was like a governor of Rome and a governor of the area that Jesus was at. Judea is what we call that area. Since he was assigned by his post by the Roman emperor, the empire was his boss. Rome was the boss. And everything he did was then done in the interest of the Roman Empire. Some of his duties included collecting taxes, managing the any construction projects going on in that area. But first and foremost of his duties was law and order, keeping things in line, keeping things civil, at least for the glory of the Roman Empire. But the Jews have a problem, and so they bring Jesus to Pilate because they don't like Jesus and they want to see him dead. And the only thing they can do about that is bring him to the head of the area, because the Roman prefect, the governor, was the only one that could put through a death sentence on somebody. So they bring Jesus to Pilate. They don't really have any specific claim, any specific accusation, except that he's an evil man doing evil things. And they bring him to Jesus, or they bring Jesus to Pilate, basically claiming that he's the Messiah, the chosen one of God. They want him executed. And so Pilate, he doesn't like to mess around. He gets right to the heart of the matter and comes out just asking Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Because that's what's most important to him in the here and now. Is this guy king? All he wants to know is this guy Jesus? Is he going to be a threat to the Roman Empire? Is he going to somehow stop the flow of taxes coming in? Is he going to cause a revolt against the empire? Is he going to upset the status quo, somehow get in the way of my promotion in the empire? Is he a viable danger to the interests of Rome? So no small talk. Are you the King of the Jews? Jesus responds, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" And then Pilate says, "What am I? Do I look like a Jew? I'm not a Jew. Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Pilate really has no concern for the matters that are before him. To him, this is a Jewish matter. It's a squabble between religious factions, the chief priests and this guy Jesus. All he wants to know is whether or not this Jesus is someone that he needs to be concerned about. He doesn't want to be inconvenienced if he doesn't have to be. Jesus answers him, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Jesus is a king. He's just not the king that Pilate understands. It's beyond Pilate's understanding. Jesus has a kingdom, but it's purely spiritual. So if Pilate is wondering whether or not Christ is going to lead a revolt or start fighting against him, or if people are going to come commanding his release, Jesus basically says, no, that's not his goal. This isn't the mission of his kingdom or his kingship. So instead he tells Pilate, for this I was born. This is why I was born. This is why I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. It's kind of a strange conversation. It's a very abrupt conversation that Jesus and Pilate are having. It feels like two people of strong authority and personality having a little bit of a clash. And here, Jesus lays out, it's almost a challenge. Listen to my voice, Pilate. Receive and know the truth. Believe that I am king. Be part of my kingdom. Give up your authority. Be part of the truth. If we were to keep reading verse 38, kind of as a way of just dismissing the whole conversation, just leaving it, Pilate just says to Jesus, well, what is truth? And he walks away and does some other stuff. But that question, what is truth, is actually answered by Jesus earlier in the gospel. In John 14, it's a passage we kind of sang it this morning, actually. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth. Whoever belongs to the truth hears the voice of Jesus. But Pilate dismisses him. He doesn't hear Christ's voice. He refuses to belong to the truth and therefore life. Instead, he's probably simply relieved that Jesus isn't someone or something that really affects him in the here and now. He doesn't pose a speed bump on the way to promotion within the empire. He's not a threat to Pilate's ambitions. He won't be interrupting Pilate's five-year plan or cause him to alter his behavior. He's not going to make things uncomfortable. Jesus isn't for him. It's about the Jewish thing. I'm a Roman. The concerns of the day, our own apathy towards spiritual matters, business as usual, will close up the ears of people. We don't want to be threatened. We are like Pilate in this passage. We have our control. We have our own authority. We do our own thing. We don't want to be bothered by Jesus. We don't like having our plans thwarted or our desires changed. We want to go our own way, do things how we would like. And so, like Pilate, we push Jesus out. Like Pilate, we hand him over to be killed. Because what better way to get rid of something that's threatening you than by killing it? Problem solved. Like Pilate, we vie against Jesus for authority, for control in our lives, because we know that there are things in that book that will change us. There are things in the scriptures that tell us we shouldn't do some things, and that we should do other things. And there are things in that book that will affect our lives and take us places we don't want to go. So maybe you're like Pilate. It's more convenient to push Christ aside instead of being transformed by him or to serve him. We'd rather not give up our vices, things we like to do that we know are not good, no matter how small. Or perhaps we'd rather not be inconvenienced by serving our neighbor, loving our neighbor. These are sins of ourself, the sins of control and of being our own authority, and those are the things that put Christ on the cross. But the good news is that Jesus Christ died for all. He died for Pilate. He died for the Jews that wanted to see him crucified. He died for you. He died for me. Listen to these words from 2 Corinthians. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live, those who have heard the voice of Jesus, have been affected by it, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. That's the gospel. For your sake, Christ died and was raised. And when we hear the voice of Christ, we are affected by that death. We are affected and changed and transformed by that resurrection as we are given life, as we are forgiven of our sin. You have been died for. You have been forgiven. And in receiving Christ and his benefits for you, his promises to you, you have received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit does stuff to us. In this, there is some things that are impossible to separate. There's a giving and receiving that happens when one gives one's life over to the gospel. See, we hear the gospel and we receive it, and Christ gives us life through his death and resurrection. He died for all, but in receiving this gospel, it means that we also die. We die to ourselves, we die, our sinful self, our sinful nature dies as well, and we become, like Corinthians says, under the control of Christ, to do that which he has called us to do, no matter how difficult. We lose our little kingdoms. We become citizens of his. And so as freed and forgiven people, we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Christ, proclaiming his word, loving and serving our neighbors. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that in your death and resurrection you have saved us and you give us the forgiveness of sins, that you have called us to be your children and you make us your sons and daughters. Lord, take control of our lives. Heal us of our sin. Help us to follow you, to obey you, to love and serve with reckless abandon. We pray this in your name. Amen.